future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. It's been an action-packed weekend on behalf of news within the cryptosphere. There's been so much going on and going down. So that makes my job presenting what's been going down a lot easier. So let's kick things off. The current market cap is $130 billion. Over the course of the weekend, it rose by over $10 billion in market cap, which then dropped off Sunday evening. But here's what's been going down. Here's what's been happening. So let's talk about EOS. EOS to be used by 300 million new users on Tapper Talk. So those questioning the blockchain projects for the underlying utility should look at EOS. Smart contract platform recently paved its way into the working model of Tapper Talk, which is a Reddit-like forum application. Per an announcement published a few days ago, well, of course, the weekend, Tapper Talk will utilize the EOS blockchain to power its gold point reward system. The integration will allow Tapper Talk to incentivize its users via EOS on-chain asset of the same name. The move could assist Tapper Talk participation among its 300 million users while furthering the adoption of EOS among them. So this is a big move for EOS, and this will work. And what will happen on the back of this news and the success of this will be more companies and more larger scale corporations will be looking to utilize blockchain, will look to use EOS in an enterprise situation. Free transactions, scalable, everything makes sense. And this is what the CEO of Tapper Talk said, calling blockchain integration a natural step. He went on to say, "We see so many exciting ways this technology will deliver valuable monetization and reward opportunities for forum communities. We are proud to support forum owners in growing prosperous microeconomies in a trusted environment." On the back of this story, we saw a 10% rise on the EOS token itself. So that was great to see. There's a lot happening in EOS at the minute. I don't know the community. Are building a lot of things as well. I think it's really interesting because what we have at EOS at the minute is two things. One is individual developers or groups of developers within the community building really, really cool dApps. And then we also have existing businesses looking to utilize blockchain, utilizing the EOS protocol and building upon that and utilizing that. So we have two kind of different factors going on here, which makes it really, really exciting to be part of the EOS community at the minute because you're having all these great announcements coming through. And I think what's really exciting as well that these large corporations are consulting individuals within the EOS community. They're consulting block producers who are there. They're talking to a lot of different developers. And everyone's so open and eager to help everyone else and really grow the protocol out itself. It's just a great opportunity for everyone within the space and to really help and take advantage of this great technology that is blockchain and in particular EOS, and really help to push this forward, be part of something that is so special. And I see this day in and day out, and I think this is what really makes the difference between other communities and the EOS community. It's just a willingness to help. And I hope this is something that stays within and grows as well, right? I think that at the start, you're always going to have that openness and hopefully later on down the line, it doesn't really change. But at the minute, it's a phenomenal place to be. It's very exciting. There's a lot going on. So in other news, the US government returns a Bitcoin retrieved from 2016 heist to Bitfinex. So this is really interesting. $110,000 retrieved out of $72 million. That was originally stolen in the hack that happened to Bitfinex back in 2016. So in 2016, cyber criminals stole 120,000 Bitcoin. That's $72 million worth. In one of the biggest ever thefts from a cryptocurrency exchange, Giancarlo, who's the chief financial officer at Bitfinex, said, "Over 2 years following the hack, the Bitfinex platform, today results of a clear and robust response strategy and the efforts of the US government. It gives us great pleasure to be able to reimburse our traders that were loyal to us and believed in us at every stage during our difficult time. We'd like to thank the US federal law enforcement agencies for their ongoing efforts to investigate the security breach of their stolen commitment to seizing returning stolen assets." So, I mean, listen, they're obviously out massively still. The exchange says the return funds will be returned to about 5,000 different users. Notably, the Bitcoin will be converted to USD and paid to recover right token RRT holders in accordance with the recovery strategy outlined after the hack. So I think what's really interesting about this is, you know, it's obviously great that the US government's being proactive and going out there and chasing these criminals and getting some money back off them. That's key. That's great. But Bitfinex is something really clever. They gave people equity. Well, people who lost a lot of money in a hack, they gave them equity within Bitfinex. So their interests were aligned. And most of the people that were hacked originally because of the success of Bitfinex actually did better off than Bitcoin did itself. So, I mean, that's a whole different story and podcast that we can do on that. But I think it's really interesting the strategy that they employed, because if you look at other exchanges, once they got hacked, dude, they were done. Like, that was it. That's a wrap. And you know, Bitfinex were able to come back. They were able to get stronger. They were able to obtain new clients. They were able to become a market leader, which they still are. You know, they have incredible volume figures and a lot of different tokens out there. They're the highest. And I think in exchange rankings, they're in the top five every day. So Bitfinex done a phenomenal job. It's great to see the US government intervening and getting involved as well and coming through. So yeah, phenomenal. So we're going to change gears here. We're going to talk about Venezuela and the situation that's going on there, which is bad. Over the weekend, we saw Bitcoin hit a high of $4,200, which was a high for 2019. Many were talking about whether Venezuelans and Argentinians were buying the dip, but that doesn't seem to be the case. So let's kind of go into it. So it's a lot more deeper than that. So the situation continues to worsen in Venezuela. In this bruised and damaged country, the Maduro, which is their currency, has now decided to sever all ties to the Colombian border over the weekend, cutting off the last lifeline to Venezuelans seeking refuge. He stated before dancing on national television as armed guards fired at people trying to move humanitarian aid into the country. So despite this price hike yesterday following a swift correction, Venezuelans are buying Bitcoins, and it isn't to see how high the price will go or a way of making money. It's actually to purchase things, not Lambos, not million-dollar yachts, but basic things like staples, milk, flour, because Bitcoin, even though it is volatile, is less volatile than their fiat currency they have there. And it's really interesting to see a real use case for Bitcoin as a, not only a safe haven asset, but something to exchange and trade with. Venezuela is buying a lot of different Bitcoin at the moment, especially the people that are living there. And in fact, a lot of the exchanges, and I don't really agree with this, but have been hiking up the prices. It's sometimes a 10% premium to buy Bitcoin in Venezuela itself, which is crazy. But I think for Bitcoin itself, it's proving a massive help and a massive use case over there, which is great to see. And we're going to see this play out more and more and more. So myself and the team have been working with blockchain rookies, in particular Troy Norcross. He's been working on a four-part educational series that has been going live every Monday on YouTube. If you haven't already, check it out, www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto. He did an amazing video today titled Blockchain, What is the Point? And he goes through, and it's kind of for beginners, like, or people looking to learn more about blockchain itself. So what I decided to do, I've decided to take some of the audio and showcase that on the podcast today. So with that in mind, let's jump onto the audio.
Hi, this is Troy from Blockchain Rookies. This is Blockchain Essentials. And now we're going to talk about, so what's the point? We've been talking about how blockchain has interesting core principles, including immutability, decentralization, and distribution. And we're operating in a trustless environment. But what are some real-world examples? At Blockchain Rookies, when we talk to enterprise customers, we typically cite three different examples. Number one, TradeLens. TradeLens is a partnership between Maersk, the shipping company, and IBM. They've achieved really amazing results in reducing shipping times by 40% by putting shipping documents that are traditionally on paper onto the blockchain. By taking paper documents, converting them to digital formats, and storing them on the blockchain in an immutable format, they've got a really great way to ensure the integrity of the documents across the entire lifetime of packages as they move from truck to port to ship to customs house to another truck all the way to the store. And the ability to trace this on the blockchain is an amazing functionality that has been brought about by the TradeLens blockchain. But it's not just one company, Maersk. There are 94 different companies, and that number is growing, that are currently part of this entire supply chain. And they've built an API, an application programming interface, on top of the TradeLens database, TradeLens blockchain, to allow for other people to build on top of that new services and new applications. Maersk is the first major shipping company to use the trade lanes, and now they're looking for other big shipping companies to come along and use the exact same infrastructure. Number two, the IBM Food Trust. The IBM Food Trust is a partnership between IBM and Walmart. I've been following this particular project for a number of years. It turns out that Walmart had a problem several years ago where E. coli got onto some particular kind of lettuce. But they couldn't figure out where the lettuce that was contaminated wound up across their supply chain, and as a result, they pulled that particular lettuce from all of the Walmart stores across the whole of America. When they looked back, they said the paper documents of their supply chain would have taken them up to 6 weeks to figure out exactly which stores actually had the contaminated lettuce. They needed a better solution, and they needed it fast. They decided to go to blockchain, and they've built now the IBM Food Trust to provide supply chain transparency for food safety, and what they say, from farm to fork. And when I first heard about this, I thought it was an interesting package, but I wondered, why would Walmart not just use a database? If it's just Walmart, and it's just one company, it is by default centralized. They may as well just use a database. Last year, we found out why. It turns out they've expanded the IBM Food Trust to other partners to make food safety on the supply chain available to lots of different people, including Tyson, Nestle, here in the EU, Carrefour, but also the big one was when they opened it up to their biggest competitor in the US, Kroger. It turns out that blockchains make a really great environment where multiple people who would normally distrust each other, competitors, can work together. Blockchains are not changing individual companies alone, they're changing entire industries and entire ecosystems. Number three, Blockchain and Transport Alliance, or BITA. And you can look at their website at bita.studio. At BITA, they've built an eBay without eBay. What do I mean by that? They've built a marketplace for long-haul trucking. If a small trucking provider has four trucks going from Tallahassee, Florida to Detroit, Michigan, normally they'll call a broker and say, we've got empty trucks. Find us somebody who needs that capacity. That broker may call another broker, and another broker, and another broker before they finally get to UPS, who actually has the demand, who needs those particular trucks. At BITA, they've built an entire marketplace on top of a blockchain where you don't need to have the brokers, where you can eliminate the middlemen and have it operate just on the blockchain. This is really interesting for adding value to the entire ecosystem because all of those brokers in the middle, they add value through the relationships, but they also take out cost. You can actually take those broker fees, up to 20% of the entire process, out and move that value back to the people who need the shipping and the individual trucking companies. The other thing about BITA's blockchain, it's not just the use cases about needing and using trucking capacity. You can actually put package tracking in on top of the same blockchain. So using the same platform, having the same industry of ecosystem of typically distrusting players working together, you solve one problem and then you find another industry problem and layer in on top. And now for a bonus. Not everything on the blockchain is intensely industry focused. Sometimes it's just for fun, like CryptoKitties. Yes, what you see on the screen now are my own four CryptoKitties. Think of them like a digital version of Beanie Babies. Each individual CryptoKitty has 9 different cat tributes. Some cat tributes are more rare than others. By storing these individual digital cats on the blockchain, which is immutable and unchangeable, you're actually having the digital equivalent of a physical asset. People buy and sell CryptoKitties, and they do that for up to $1.5 million total spend just in 2018 alone. It's an amazing, fun thing that's being done with blockchain in the real world. So now you know what's the point. Blockchain is not just for cryptocurrency. People in trucking, people in shipping, people in food safety, and yes, people who want to have a bit of fun are all using blockchain in the real world.
So if you enjoyed that, you have to head to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/SVK Crypto, for our 4-part series with the guys at Blockchain Rookies. They do a phenomenal job And Troy goes through everything. We have lots of bullet points on the screen as well. Super easy to understand. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. If you haven't already, check us out on Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Follow us or join our Telegram group, SVK Crowd. If you type that into Telegram, you will find us, myself and the rest of the team, very active on there. If you have any questions or queries, feel free to email myself, cstory, cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.